Bez Hashem is about to begin Perek Shvi, the seventh chapter in the Rambam Masechta Shel Brachot, the laws of borrowers and of guardians of deposits in the same Mishpatim Book of Judgments. We will continue the halachas of the Shemichinam regarding that of a Brachot, specifically in this parak regarding the utilization of the deposit, being involved with it, and regarding its return. As Rambam gives a halacha off regarding what do you do with a deposit, that its value is going down. So Mafkid Peyas Ezra Chaver, some deposits produced by his friend. Halacha is not allowed to touch them. Even if it continues to diminish and get less in value, and it continues to get less. Now, remember when we say this, that you don't touch it, if it's diminishing the amount of value, that's appropriate, that's within normal range of how much items like produce diminish in value every single year. But let's say it's diminishing more than how much it makes sense for it to usually diminish, then you sell it in the court, because it's like returning a lost item. It's a loss for the owner. It's like returning a lost item for the owner. Now, when he sells it to other people, you should sell only to Kahanim, which only has a cheaper value, the value of how much Truma is, because there's a smaller market. Why do you have to sell it as if it's Truma? Because maybe the owners who has this produce away here at deposit, maybe he had tevel somewhere else and he has this produce, he's like, oh, I'm not using it. Let that be the truma, or truma's ma'isa shpeisacheres, or the truma's ma'isa of other produce. Where he has, then he'll give that to kahanim. We don't know, so to be concerned for that, maybe it's truma or truma's ma'isa. Then we have to treat it as such. So when we're selling it, we have to sell it to kahanim for that cheaper value. Halacha beis, hamafkid is l'chaveda peters v'yakibu. Let's say someone deposits by his friend produce and it's rotting, or devash v'nifset, or honey and it's getting ruined, or yain v'hechmetz, or wine or it's souring and it's turning vinegary. So you do a remedy for the owner of the deposit. You sell in the courts. Now, although it's already has maxed out on its loss, and the loss is not going to get any worse, so why are you selling it? It's already ruined. Yeah, but the bucket, the basket, and the jug, they're going to get also more ruined. And therefore, to stem that loss, you sell it even though it already soured. Halacha Gimel, Hamafkid Chametz is a Chaver. Some deposits Chametz, leavened items by his friend. V'giya Pesach, and it's time for Pesach, where once it gets after Pesach, it's going to be Asabah, no, it's going to be totally forbidden. Total loss, total washout. Still Harizal Yigal, but you're not allowed to touch that Chametz, that deposit. Atshoch Hamishis Miyam Arba Aser, only until the fifth hour of the 14th of Nisan of Erev Pesach, which that's the beginning of when you're not allowed to eat Chametz anymore on Erev Pesach. Now, Mekam Eilach, from that moment on, you go and you sell in the marketplace only in that hour itself, because then you still let it have benefit from it until the end of the fifth hour, which afterwards then rabbinically you can't even have benefit from it. So you can't eat it, but you can still have benefits. So you could sell it to a non-Jew, sell it to someone could utilize it, you just can't eat it. And the reason why then that hour you'll sell it, because again, it's returning a lost item to the owner, because it's going to be a total washout after that hour is done. But before that, you don't touch it, because maybe he's going to come, maybe who knows what. Now, then the same thing is, that for sure we learn that from the halacha of chametz on Pesach, which is a total loss, but you don't touch it up until it's like the last moment. The same thing is l'shar b'gedayin is for all other deposits. Shlo yigibem, you don't touch them. Af b'shidei b'vaday, although you know for sure she zeru b'zman plain is going to go down the price at a certain time. Or yenas oisam melcho, the king is going to take it away. Doesn't make a difference. Shem yevav balei mekayin miyitul b'mayin. Maybe the owner is going to come right before and he's going to take back his money. Here also, you don't know till the moment that it's too late. That last chance, then you'll sell it. But up until then, you don't touch it. Halach HaDalek continues regarding touching and utilizing the deposit itself. So, although we said you're not allowed to touch it, but Hamafkid Sefer Teres L'Chaver, let someone deposit a Torah scroll by his friend. So, Goyloi Pamachas L'Shtei Masachedit, you should roll it once every 12 months so that it airs out and it doesn't get moldy. Now, the Imkashu Goyloi, now, if when you're rolling it, Pasacha, he opens it up a carb and he reads it, that's more than permitted. So, though you're not allowed to touch it for your own purposes, but once you're doing it anyway, you're rolling it because for the benefit of the deposit, then you're allowed to read from it. But you're not allowed to open up for yourself for your own purposes and read from it. And the same thing applies to other Svarim, where in those times the Svarim all scrolls, and again, you have to roll it, but you can't just open it for your own purposes. Now, then Pasach v'kar v'gol b'glasmi. Let's say he did open up and he read from the sefer, and he rolled it for his own purposes. That's considered having stretched out a hand and utilizing the deposited item. And the schayv b'anus, now he's even liable for an einus because that makes him totally responsible now that he was shalach yad, like the pasuk tells us. Now hifker, that's like sus shal tzema. Let's say he deposited by his friend a garment of wool. So manana achas l'sheshem yom, you should shake it out once every 30 days, because or else it gets ruined when it just sits. And kedek shamar baveda, just like we said regarding a lost item, when you find the object, you should do this so that it's hashavas aveda. Kachamar bebekadin, it's the same thing grabbing a deposit. When you're watching it, you should do the same thing so that the deposit doesn't get ruined. And the chen kol kiritzim is anything that's similar like this, that anywhere we could turn for a loss, the one who's watching it has an obligation to prevent that loss. Shazu chayv olav, that there's an obligation in the mishum hashav avad labalam, because of returning a lost object, even though it's not lost in that sense, but it's going to be a loss, to return that loss to the owners. The men ramum, when we say this, is bepikadin, it's by a deposit, sholcha ba'olav libdin zayam. The owners of the deposit went overseas, so he's not around, so you have to take care of it. But if let's say he was with him in the same land, you're just watching for him, then you don't touch it. But even though it's getting ruined, getting lost, you just let him know that it's getting ruined, and that's his choice, but he's here and he can take care of it himself. Now, whoever sells a deposit based on the courts, like we spoke about in Halacha Aleph, it should be sold to others. He should not sell it to himself. Because of suspicion, where he might be paying less than the value. But the money stays by him. And he could utilize the money. And so he's actually considered a paid custodian. Meaning, even though he didn't even use them yet to have any benefit from it, but he still has from the fact that he's permitted to utilize them, that itself is considered like a benefit. And that's considered like he's watching for pay. And therefore he has the halachas like a shemesacha. Halacha Vav continues regarding utilizing monies that's deposited by him. So if someone deposits money by a storekeeper or by a money changer, so if it was bundled and it was sealed, like or it's tied with an abnormal type of a knot, so that's showing that it's off limits. So the storekeeper, the money changer, shouldn't use them. Therefore, if it gets stolen or lost, in the they're not responsible because they're not getting any wages. They're just watching it for free, which is our exempt for Ganev Aveda. Now, if it's not sealed, and it's not tied with an abnormal knot, although it's bundled, but he could utilize them. And the reason for that is because the one who's depositing it by the money changer and the storekeeper knows that they always need to have money to give people. So we're evaluating that his intention was that he agrees that they could use the money. Now, even though it's bundled, but people normally do that even for just momentarily, as long as it wasn't abnormal knot or seal. Now, the fact that he could use the money already makes him a shem esacha because he has the benefit that he could use them. And if he gets stolen or lost, he's actually responsible to ensure that. Now, if it's einus beyond his control, that he got lost through armed bandits, how does apart to then, like a shem esacha, he's going to be exempt. Halacha zayin, but when we say this whole halacha is kodim shishtamash ben, before he actually used the monies. Aval achash nishtamash ben, but after he used them, which we say he's allowed to, then he's responsible for all insurance, like all loans in the world until he returns it to the owners because he's utilizing this money like a loan. Halacha ches. Hamafkit, meaning in contrast, before you only like a shemesacha because you have that benefit that you could, but afterwards it's like a loan, like a shoya. Halacha ches hamafkit moist itzal balabais. If someone deposited money by a homeowner. Bein tsurun bein matur, meaning balabais in contrast to a storekeeper or a money changer. So here it's bein tsurun bein matur, whether it's bundled, whether it's just open, not bundled at all. Hadiz alay yishtamash ben, he's not allowed to use them. We don't presume that he's going to need to use the money like a storekeeper. And lefikah lirfam abdu enignimu, if it gets stolen or lost, in the chabbech yusin, he's not responsible to insure them. As long as he buries it in the ground, like I explained this already in Perek Dal Lochadal by Shemachinim, that's the only way that's protected. But as long as he wasn't Pesheya, so then he's not going to be Chayav Gneva Vaveda because he's not allowed to use the monies. Halacha Tes continues regarding what happens regarding moving the deposit. Someone deposits a barrel by his friend. So whether if the owner of the barrel designates a makam, a place where it should be, whether they didn't designate a place. Now, but now the custodian moves it for his own purposes without taking permission from the owner. The nishbura and the barrel breaks. And this is whether it broke when he was handling it, or whether after he returned it to the place that it was designated for it, and then nishbura, then it breaks. He has to pay because, again, he moved it without permission. But let's say he moved it for the purposes of the barrel to take care of it. Then bein shenishbur mitechiyod, whether it broke when he was handling it, bein shenishbur mishenichem makamacha, whether it broke after he put it down somewhere else, then pata is going to be exempt because that wasn't his own liability; that was for the benefit of the barrel itself. Halacha Yud talks about regarding returning a deposit, And that is, Ema Kalman Pagdainis, we do not accept deposits. Loimin Hanosh, not for married women, because maybe it's really their husbands, and they just want to siphon it off and hide it that the husband doesn't see, so they're depositing by someone somewhere else, some offshore account, and you're not allowed to assist someone who's sinning by stealing money from her husband. So you don't accept not from women, Loimin Avodim, and not from slaves, because generally slaves are suspect regarding theft. And Loimin Atanaikis, and not from children. Kibbalim in the Isha, let's say accept it from a woman, so Yagzli Isha, although we suspect, but we give it back to the woman to the positioning that it was by her originally, when she gave it to him. Now, the Mesa, let's say she dies and he has the deposit, Yachzal Abal, he gives it back to the husband because, first of all, the husband inherits her. And even if it's it was a deposit from someone else, so let that person come and claim it from the husband. Keep him in the Evid, let's say he receives from the slave, Yachzal Abal, you give it back to the slave. Mesa, the slave died, Yachzal Abal, you give it back to the master. Again, we presume he stole it from the master. And also, whatever is the master, the slave is the master's. Keep him in that cotton. If he received it from a child, now you're not going to give it back to the child because maybe he's not going to protect it appropriately. He's going to ruin it. He's not mature enough. So what you do is yiknu le by sefer Torah. You acquire for him a sefer Torah, a dekel or a palm tree sheichel ben pereza that he should eat the fruits. So it's something that remains and that has utility. Now, but kulon. Now, however, regarding all these individuals, if she'amr b'shas masasin, if they said when they were dying, shall play name, it's that person, someone else's. It's not the husband's. It's not the father's. It's not the master's. So, depends. If he trusts the person who deposited by them, that what they're saying is true, then you do as they say. If not, then you give it back to their inheritors. Now, this is specifically only if the person is saying when they're dying, when they don't have the ability themselves to take a deposit from the one who's watching for them. But if they're healthy people, then you do give it, even if you don't trust them, because they can take it themselves and give it to that person. So, therefore, that ability would make you have to do what they're saying anyway. Regarding a deposit and a lost item, you could only claim it from the one who's holding on to it, only in the original place. Meaning in their place. So, let's say you deposited by him in Yerushalayim. You can't go claim, hey, when you're a Noiv, say, give it back to me. You deposit in Yerushalayim. Come back to Yerushalayim. If he gives it back to him in Noiv, so then he accepts from him. In other words, he can't claim. He says, no, I deposited it in Yerushalayim, give it back to me, and then Yerushalayim. No, if he returns it, you can't claim from him to return it, but if he does return it, then you accept it from him. But let's say you deposit him by him in the settled area. Baby picked him by Midban, he brings his deposit into the desert, then ain't a Mekalimen, then you don't have to accept it back from him. Because El Yemel, you could tell him, it's in your responsibility, until you give it back to me in the settled area. Yeah, Yerushalayim and Noiv, maybe I have to accept that you've been not out here in the desert. Just like a deposit by a settled area, that's how you have to give it back to me also. Halacha Yud Beis, some deposits by his friend. Now the owner of the deposit travels overseas. But now the guardian, this guy just flies off somewhere for who knows how long, and the shomer, he wants to go on a cruise from the dry land to the sea. He wants to go on a caravan, he's leaving on a big trip. So, there are those who rule, if the guardian comes, he brings the deposit to the court. He's exempt from the responsibility of his guarding it. And those who rule like that, these words make sense. Because you can't lock up this shomer in this country because of the deposit of this guy who just went off. And neither could the shomer take it with him because maybe something beyond his control is going to happen on the trip. He's going to be responsible for its insurance. So rather, he could just end his shmir by giving it to the courts. Now, and the courts, what they do is they deposit by someone who's trustworthy to them, simply because if it's just going to be in the courts, it's going to get lost. So as a way of returning it to the owners, they'll have someone else watch it, but this guy could terminate his obligation to watch when he needs to go on a trip because the owner's not around anymore, and he just gives it to the court that way.